I speak this morning in God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Well, Jesus is at it again. Jesus is doing his usual thing in this morning's gospel. In this morning's gospel, Jesus is breaking rules, defying expectations, ignoring conventions, and generally acting in a quite disreputable way. Just a little bit earlier, John tells us about an incident Jesus had in the temple where he tipped over some tables, caused a ruckus, and gave some pretty serious grief to some perfectly respectable money changers and Pharisees. Now here he is in the middle of Samaria, generally considered an absolute no-go zone for right-thinking Jews. Remember where all this comes from. Remember the depth of this hostility. Samaria was part of the Hebrew homeland that had been invaded centuries before. And the Assyrian invaders took out a whole bunch of the locals, moved them nobody knows where, and moved in a whole bunch of other folks from all over the place. Foreign types in the homeland. Many of them took on most of Hebrew religion, but sometimes they mixed it up with other stuff from back home. And so they and the Jews, the Samaritans in the north and the Judeans in the south, well, they disagreed on some stuff. Jews from Judea said Jerusalem was where you had to go to worship and the temple was the place you had to be. Samaritans in the north said temple shmemple. We'll worship right here, thank you very much. Jews from Judea had prophets and psalms in their Bibles. Samaritans from the north said, we're good with the first five books, thanks a lot. It's a family fight, and it is vicious, as only family fights can be. Most Jews avoided even passing through Samaria, even when that meant going miles and miles and days out of their way. And most Samaritans, well, they weren't any better. Most Samaritans wouldn't let you stay in their town if they even thought that you were on your way to Jerusalem. And here's Jesus. Here's Jesus blithely walking into all this mess. Here's Jesus just stepping right into the middle of all that rancor and bad blood and bad history. Here's Jesus sitting down on a well right in the middle of Samaria. And if that weren't bad enough, he's actually talking to one of the locals. And if that weren't bad enough, the local he's talking to is a woman. He shouldn't even be talking to a nice Judean girl all by himself, let alone a Samaritan woman with more husbands than Elizabeth Taylor. But as usual, when Jesus does this sort of thing, as usual, when Jesus starts tipping over tables and ignoring conventions and respectability, as usual, when Jesus gets up to his Jesus stuff, something really unexpected happens. Something that seems small, but turns everything upside down, not just tables. Jesus engages with this unlikely woman. And she's no shrinking violet, is she? The Samaritan woman at the well, this woman's a pistol. He engages with her. He meets her where she is. He takes her seriously. And what does he say to her? What he's really saying, is God's kingdom is coming near, Jesus says. And there's no time for the old rancor and bad blood and suspicion. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is starting to flow again, just like living water. And it's a gift, this Holy Spirit that's bringing new life. It's a gift that can start in your own heart and spring up and give you life that'll last forever. And it's a gift and it's available for anyone, no matter who they are. And the source of it all is this dusty guy sitting down beside a well in Samaria. The source of it all is Jesus. God's kingdom is coming near, Jesus says. And it's going to bring a time. It's going to bring a time when there's no more Jewish worship and Samaritan worship and this kind of worship and that kind of worship. It's going to bring a time when there's just worship. It's going to bring a time when worship will be inspired by nothing but pure love and gratitude to the one true God, the maker of heaven and earth. There's going to come a time when worship is inspired from above, not from below. When worship is inspired purely by that gift of the Holy Spirit and nothing else. There's going to come a time, Jesus says. It's near and it's here. A time when our worship will show us that the differences between us, Samaritan, Jew, whatever, those differences fall away. They drift into meaninglessness. And in that true worship that's inspired from above, in that true worship, we present ourselves to God together again. We present ourselves to God, united not by our own wills, not by common opinions or a shared love of old songs, when we're united by the Holy Spirit and nothing less. When we present ourselves together again, united in wonder and love and praise. The time's coming, Jesus says. It's here. And this vision finds a place in this Samaritan woman's heart. This and the fact that Jesus knew all about all her ex-husbands. This vision takes hold of her soul, moves her body. She runs back to the village to get as many people as she can and say, come on out to the well and see this guy that I've just been talking to. And they come with her and they catch the vision. They see something in what she says and in this man from Judea. They catch the vision, and that's when two really remarkable things happen. And we don't often pay much attention to them. And I want to stop and notice these two little things that can just drift by in this beautiful story. Two things happen. These Samaritan villagers invite Jesus and his friends to stay with them for a while. Shouldn't happen. Second amazing thing that happens that we might miss, Jesus and his friends say yes. And they stay for 2 days. Now, there are two ways of reading that bit. You can read it, they stayed for 2 days. Or you can read it, they stayed for 2 days. The second way is the right way. Think about it. They stayed for 2 days, and this means that Jesus and his disciples entered into Samaritan homes. They slept under Samaritan roofs. They ate Samaritan food at Samaritan tables, and before they ate it, they said prayers with their Samaritan hosts. And in the ancient Near East, this is a very big deal. This is like being temporary kin. Family. What we see, inspired by a vision of worship, what we see is, instead of suspicion, unity. Instead of enmity, hospitality. Instead of division, reconciliation. Just this little sliver of the kingdom slipping into the world almost unnoticed because they stayed 2 days. It's all inspired by a vision of worship. A vision of worship in sincerity and spirit and truth. And it reminds us, when we step into the light of Jesus, we see things differently. When we hold in mind that image of worship that Jesus gave to that Samaritan woman, that image of worship unified in spirit, we start to see things a little differently. We start to see that so many of the divisions that we human beings draw between ourselves, some of which seem to mean so much to us, well, they don't really mean much at all. Categories that we use to classify people, to put people into boxes, those things are temporary and ultimately meaningless. And we know how that feels. We experience that. For me, it feels a little bit like being in the Samaritan house with Jesus and the disciples. Because think of how you feel when we all get in line and come up to the altar to receive communion. That's one of those moments. That's a profound moment. For me, that's a really important moment, and I need it every week, especially if I've had a challenging time or if I'm feeling distracted and unfocused. Pay attention to that moment. The people around you. That moment reminds us. It reminds us of the depths of the bonds of love in this community right here. It reminds us that wherever we might be coming from, here we are together now. It reminds us that at that moment, our opinions about stuff, our differences, those things don't make much difference. At that moment when we're walking up to that altar together, we're all just there humbly holding out our hands, seeking God's blessing. At that moment, we're all sinners seeking His forgiveness. At that moment, we're all beloved children at the table of our Father. No more Samaritans, no more Judeans, no more Republicans, no more Democrats, no more Yankees, no more Southerners, no more progressives, no more conservatives. You and me and the rest of us doing this. We need to experience that. I need to experience that. And we're guardians of that. That experience of deep unity and community, that's a gift that we hold in trust for the whole world, because the world needs to experience that. You have friends who need to experience that. The homeless guy downtown trying to panhandle the price of a bottle of cheap wine needs to experience that. The high-powered executive who's working 85 hours a week trying to stay ahead of the next crisis needs to experience that. The college kid who's wondering who she really is needs to experience that. And we have it to give. Your kids, your grandkids need to experience that. I need to experience it. You need to experience it. Week after week. And we have it to give here in this community of faith. Here we can provide in that passionate worship which unites us, the answer to the world's divisions. Here we can provide in that radical hospitality that we extend to whoever God sends us through those doors, the unity that the people in the world need. The world needs the unity and the community that we have. It's the gift that's been entrusted to us. The world needs the unity and community that we rely on. So, we cultivate it. We ask the gifts of the Holy Spirit to keep it strong. And then, with utter, reckless abandon, we share it. In Jesus' name. Amen.